The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees came forward and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed from the depths of his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Amen, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Then he left them, got into the boat again, and went off to the other shore. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. I thought I'd tell you a little bit about our first reading from the book of Genesis that tells the story of Cain and Abel. The story of Cain and Abel, one of the Old Testament classic stories, and also two firsts in all the Bible. The story of Cain and Abel is the first time the Bible ever uses the word sin. It's also the first time that anyone ever questions God Almighty directly, as Cain does, in no small measure of arrogance, turning to his Creator and saying, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Two firsts from the story of Cain and Abel. You know, I mentioned before how sin has a snowballing effect. And you see this now by the story of Cain and Abel. What began back in the Garden of Eden as a simple act of disobedience to God has now borne its ugly and deadly fruit as the Bible records its first murder. Sin has a snowballing effect, ladies and gentlemen. God gives us a chance to repent. But if we don't repent, it gets worse and worse and worse until it ends in apocalyptic catastrophe, just like it did here in the story of Cain and Abel. Interesting little side note, the symbolism of the book of Genesis shows the snowballing effect of sin. Have you ever read through Genesis and seen some of these characters that appear early on in the book with ridiculously long lifespans? Like Methuselah, right? Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. Ridiculous long lifespans. Even Moses. Moses lived to be 120. By the time we get to the book of Psalms, however, it says our span is 70 years or 80 for those who are strong. Symbolic of the decreasing life within our bodies as the increasing sin within our souls. One of the firsts from the story of Cain and Abel. The other is the first time that anyone ever defies to ask God Almighty, his Creator, in his infinite knowledge, a question. Am I my brother's keeper? The first time, but certainly not the last time. Don't we all imitate the arrogance of Cain a dozen times before 12 noon each day, asking God, "What the heck are you doing?" Right? And we pray, right? On one hand, we pray, "Thy will be done." And the next moment we say, "But can I just give you a word of advice?" Nothing like the wavering human spirit that's questioning Almighty God. And the question that I would ask you to think about here today now is the importance of asserting your faith deliberately. This murder that you hear in the story of Cain and Abel is a direct consequence of doubt. What we want to do is build up love as a direct consequence of faith. You were baptized, and when you were baptized, you were given three gifts: faith, hope, and love. Flat out given to you. They're all in you. I don't care what you feel. They're in there, and they were strengthened in confirmation. Faith, hope, and love interact with one another in a specific way, and it helps to understand how. Faith gives birth to hope. And hope gives birth to love. For example, faith, which means your ability to believe what God has revealed on the authority of the one who revealed it, leads you to live a life of endless hope as you realize that God's promises are so great, they're unfolding before your very eyes. Every moment is a new revelation of what God has willed for you and for the world. And even if things seem bad, you trust because of that faith that God is always good. You know that no matter who the president is, that Christ is always the king. And you know what that hope gives birth to? It gives birth to love for God and his commandments and for one another. Faith gives birth to hope, and hope gives birth to love. Now, regretfully, the opposite dynamic also occurs. Doubt gives birth to despair, and despair gives birth to sin. That's how it works. When you doubt that God can be trusted, or that his word is reliable, or that what he said is true, you end up not having any hope in anything at all. And it leads to an internal existential despair that our whole world is essentially living through right now. And when you don't have any hope in what God has revealed, you grasp for whatever good you might happen to see before your eyes, whether it's God's commandments or not. That's how doubt gives birth to despair, and despair gives birth to sin. Now, what we need to realize is that faith, hope, and charity, they're not only gifts, they're also choices. You can choose to love, whether you feel anything or not. Just choose it. You can choose to hope, whether you feel anything or not. Just choose it. And you can choose to believe. And when we do, we unpack the gift that God has already given. It's already in our souls. Faith, hope, and charity grow. And this is what we want to practice all day long. The one best single way that you can practice faith is to practice praise. Learn to give thanks to God for everything. Just like we say in the Mass, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks. It can be very hard to do. It's like we said in our psalm response. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Man, when things are going badly and you don't understand and you're suffering, praise offered to God can seem like a terrible sacrifice. But what an act of faith. And you know what? That act of faith makes your faith stronger. So to your hope, so to your love. A little lesson now from the story of Cain and Abel. Jesus' best friends stood by him, especially when they did not understand what was going on. Let's you and I strive to be among them, shall we? Amen.